All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, December 5th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a big 11-game NBA main slate. We had golf round two tee off earlier this morning. We have a three-game COD slate. We have four games of college football and five games of NHL. So it should be a super fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. We did have a couple of questions come in prior to the show, so we will start there and then kind of see where things go. So first question, if you have the starter version and you're using the portfolio diversifier, why does it give you lineups with super low Saber scores, like single digits? It was my understanding we wanted the highest Saber scores. All right, good question. So the way that the portfolio diversifier works, okay, is different than if you just simply sorted the lineups from like highest Saber score to lowest, right? That's what we used to do. That is what the primary sorting method was before we developed the portfolio diversifier. We would basically just take your lineups, sort them from the highest ROI down to the lowest, right? The only kind of problem with that, okay, is that what would happen effectively is that your lineups would be very, very concentrated, right? There are a certain set of players that kind of fit well, that it's kind of building around, that is leading to that high ROI, right? Like, hey, these guys are why these lineups are high ROI, all right? And we'll do a demo here, kind of talking about it. I'm reserving some entries really quickly so we can do this. So upload a template file, bring it into SaberSim, make sure we have a template on. Yes, let's recreate that. Let's build 1,500 lineups, something quick, two adjustments, two projections, and kick this off. I just hit the button a little too soon. All right, cool. So we'll build some lineups, and then we can demonstrate this a little bit better. Solid question. All right. Just waiting for these lineups to wrap up. Pretty close. ~96%. All right, cool. So we're in the post build. We're going to let the sim run. Okay, sim is running. We're going to diversify. All right, cool. So the easiest way to kind of tell what's happening, in my opinion, is using the compact lineup view, bringing the lineups pane over, and then looking at the differences between the portfolio rank and the ROI, okay? If you're sorting uniques one, ROI, you're just going to have highest ROI to lowest straight down, right? The only kind of problem with this is that here, all right, I'm going to make some notes. We have two players at 100% exposure, and then we have one player at 70%. And then it drops down to So again, this is the ROI sorting. All right, now we're going to switch back to portfolio. And we're going to see what the portfolio diversifier does, right? This portfolio diversifier is supposed to be more intelligent. It basically looks at your lineups and says, hey, we understand that. And it's doing this, just to be clear, with on starter, it's doing this with SaberScore, right? And SaberScore is a contest sim ROI as well. So even though we're talking about portfolio, portfolio plus, the same thing is happening. The portfolio diversifier is just using a different metric to kind of solve here. And we even see low ROIs here. We'll talk about it. So with portfolio on, one, we're using 46 players in our player pool, which is 9 more than we were using with uniques, right? We have 0 players, 100%. We do have 1 player, 95. 1 player, 80. And then it drops down to 40. So before, right, we had 2 100s, 170. Here we have 195, 180, and then we'd go to 40. So 1, more players, 2, more spread out exposures. And what it's doing in order to do this, right? It's basically looking at the ROIs and then it's saying, hey, I understand that these lineups are high ROI, right? If we look at ROI, right, we can see it here. Let's say it goes 134, then 105. What the builder is basically saying is that it is better to play this 101% ROI lineup before playing the 105. And that could be for a number of reasons, right? Basically, the builder is like, hey, it's looking at the contest sim results, say, hey, which two lineups when played together smooth out your results and still help you win a lot, right? And then for lineup 3, it's like, hey, what third lineup best complements the two before? For 4, what fourth lineup best complements the 3 before it, right? So here you can see that, like, you take this 100% ROI lineup that is ranked 13th, right? Well, that lineup is ranked 4th by ROI straight down. The builder has basically determined, hey, you know, it is much better to play this 55% ROI lineup, this 28% ROI lineup, this 14% ROI lineup. Where did it go? Oh, I'm looking at SaberScore, so I'm getting confused. This 14% ROI lineup before playing the 100%. So the builder is looking at the range of outcomes as of the lineups as a whole, and then figuring out which ones at which point in the portfolio are best to play. So that's what's happening with the portfolio diversifier. It's doing it in a very intelligent way. I personally am comfortable playing any lineup over either 0% ROI or 0 SaberScore. And if the builder wants to mix in lower ones because it thinks it complements the higher ones better, I'm totally okay with that. So the only thing that I would be, I would consider SaberScan Portfolio Plus with ROI doesn't use negative ROI. That threshold or that kind of whatever stops that is not the same for SaberScore. So I think it's okay to have a filter with SaberScore greater than 0. And then if you just save it, it'll always be there. And then you can come in and just turn that on so you never use negative SaberScore lineups. So is it okay to play lower SaberScore lineups? Yes. Do you want to play negative? No. This filter will prevent that. All right. Good question to get us started. Next question, I'm curious as to what causes a certain lineup to be negative ROI versus positive ROI in the post-lock sims. Notice some similar builds that logically make sense, but some would be ROI or some would be negative ROI, some would be positive ROI. Or what is driving a lineup to be negative ROI? Like, is there a specific player I played at a high percentage ownership that is heavily affecting the ROI? How can I assess that to prevent it in the future? The driving force for this question is the large NFL showdown slate, Dallas versus Detroit. All right, very good question. So with showdowns in particular, there's going to be Well, I'm just going to talk about like overall kind of differences between the pre and post contest sim, and then we'll get into showdown. So the biggest thing that causes a lineup to be positive ROI pre-contest sim and negative ROI post-contest sim are differences in the field that you're using to sim against. If Amon-Ra St. Brown is projected for 30% ownership, but he comes in at 40%, if he comes in at 20%, right? Any player, right? And all those things kind of stack up, right? You start combining all those little differences. Basically, the field you simmed against pre-slate is just different enough from the field that was actually played that some lineups that looked positive ROI ended up being negative because the field ended up playing different lineups. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is the field size, right? When we sim showdown, I believe we have 15,000 lineups in our field lineups. So what if you're playing contests that are, I think you said the flagship, I think the flagship is like 80,000, right? Well, we're taking the payout structure of the flagship and we're applying it to a smaller field. Okay. So there's going to be differences in raw number of lineups. This can also lead to differences in duplication. Hey, we thought a lineup might be duped 10 times, ended up being duped 20 times, right? Maybe more people played that lineup than we expected. That's another reason for differences. The last one I can think of is projection changes, right? Maybe you're using custom projections. Maybe you're manually changing projections in the app, right? Any projection adjustments that you make, custom or manual, are going to be taken into account in the pre-contest sim. We will sim with your updates, right? In the post-contest sim, the post-contest sim only uses SaberSim projections. So what something might grade out better on your own custom stuff, because maybe you had, CD Lamb projected for 3 points more than we did. So you got a lot of exposure to CD Lamb. Well, we thought his average projection was lower. So we don't really like lineups with him as much, which can lead to a lower post-contest sim ROI through our projections, right? Those are all the things that you have to be aware of when comparing pre- and post-contest sims. I would say if you're doing the projection route, right, just be mindful of that. Take the results with a grain of salt where you're like, hey, if I was grading this with my own stuff, you know, maybe I would have been, 5 to 10% higher ROI. I think you got to be a little bit careful because it's like a little bit of a slippery slope. If your post-contest sim ROI is, negative 30%, you can't just say like, we're just going to chalk that up to projection differences, right? I think there is a small difference in the ROIs, like your true ROI versus like your SaberSim ROI if you're using good projections. So the answer is either one, you need to change your process, or two, you're using bad projections if you're coming in like way, way, way negative. So don't let that just be kind of a catch-all for like any bad results that you see. If I saw like negative 30, I'd be like, okay, something's wrong here. I mean, I probably need to change something. So keep that in mind. But those are the biggest differences there. One of the best things that you can do, I think that, well, number one is you're probably never going to play 100% positive ROI lineups. I think it's just like almost impossible. I've looked at like top players and, top players, 150 maxing, like they never have 100% all positive ROI lineups. So I don't want you to spend too much time like overanalyzing every single lineup that you play. But on a user level, right? When you are studying lineups in Flashback and you are looking at your user metrics, your sim ROI, you do want that kind of average number to be positive, right? That just says like, hey, you are building good lineups. They might not all be positive, but on average, your lineups are positive ROI as a whole, right? I think that is a better approach to take than this kind of micro analysis approach of like every single lineup. So that was a question that we got when Giant Squid won one of his two Millie makers last NFL season. He won a Millie with a negative ROI lineup, but overall he was like positive. I think it was like 23%. And it was like, hey, you know, yeah, he took one down with one of his negatives. You know, we've talked a lot about how even negative ROI lineups win, but overall, you know, his sim ROI was positive. So that's just like another example kind of that. All right. Good stuff. Next question. If you have a set of lineups for your main contests, 150 max, 3 max, single entry, etc., and want to draw from those lineups for things like satellites, can this be done in templates? Good question. So what I would do is I would probably use the all contests in one group template. What this would do is it will build you as many lineups as you need for your highest entry contest. So this one would put all of your contests into one group and give you 150 lineups where it's saying, hey, you know, we are going to use 150 lineups total. And then we are going to draw from that 150 pool for any and all additional entries that we need, right? I think that's one way of doing it. You could use the direct fill template. This would start off by giving you a unique lineup for each entry, but you can manually change the number, right? You know, maybe I want to play 155 lineups, right? I'm playing 150, a 3 max, and 2 single entries. Well, I want to play 155. Okay, change the number to 155. When your lineups are lower than your entries and you have like more than one contest, you're going to get like an option for like your fill method. I would say just leave that as unique rank and you should be fine. And maybe I can demo that real quick. So let's do something. Okay, let's put 5 lineups in here. All right. Hold on. Let me rebring in an entry file. All right. So let's go back. All contests in one group. All right, so I'm in the all contests in one group right now. I have 2 contests. I have the Dime Time and the Quarter Jukebox. All contests in one group is giving me 20 lineups because that is the most entries I have in these, right? Hey, in this one you have 20, in this one you have 5. It's going to give us 20 lineups. And then I would just leave these on portfolio, right? The direct fill approach is going to give me 25 lineups right out of the gate. But if I change this to maybe say 22 or something, this pop-up will tell you what portfolio and random do. So the diversifier will assign lineups to contests intelligently to maximize diversity across all contests in this group. Random will randomize all these lineups across all the contests within the group. So portfolio is fine. Random is fine if you want to use either of those. But those are what these options do. I think all contests in one group would probably be better for you. But if you want unique lineups in your 3 maxes and singles, then just use direct fill and then manually change the number to however many unique lineups you want. All right, next question. How do I reduce the number of 2 tight end lineups for main slate NFL? All right, let's go over to the main slate. That's not what I meant to do. NFL. Main. All right. Let's go over to a build. And let's just generate 500 lineups. Build. All right, let's let these lineups run. So a couple things here, right? There's a couple different ways to do this. Now, it's going to depend if you want no two tight end lineups, if you're okay with two tight end lineups. That is the first distinction you need to make, right? If you are like, hey, I actually don't want any two tight end lineups at all, right? Okay, then the way you would do that is I would probably just do it with a rule. I've learned that a rule is easier. You just go to add new rule. You say group auto use no more than one. You only leave tight end checked, right? This will basically put a tight end in your tight end spot, and then it'll not allow any tight ends into your flex, right? What if you're like, hey, I'm okay with a few tight ends in my flex, but not all of them, right? Like maybe I'm okay with McBride. Maybe I'm okay with like Kelce, right? Some of these bigger production guys, but you know, I want to be very particular in who I allow. Okay. Then what I would do is I would go to the flex spot. I would go to position, click on tight end. I'm right clicking on position to get this pop-up. Select tight ends, uncheck them all. But then maybe I want to leave a couple check, right? Maybe I like McBride, Bowers, and maybe Warren, right? Maybe I just like these three guys. I'm being very particular. We're like, hey, I am only okay playing these three guys in my flex, right? This would be one way to control it, but be a little bit more particular about who you let in, right? That's another option. The last option, and we're going to create a group here. Would be to go into the flex right after you've generated your lineups, sort by exposure. I would probably make sure the position column is visible. And then you can just like look at your exposures here, right? Like, okay, hey, I have 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lineups of my 20 with a tight end in the flex. That's 50%. Okay, maybe I don't want that, right? What I would probably do is start getting rid of some of the lower ones where it's like, okay, hey, I'm going to go zero Barner. I'm going to go zero Likely. I'm going to leave the Warren. I'm going to leave the Bowers. Maybe I cut Gesicki in half from 10 to 5. You know, maybe I cut Parkinson from 10 to 5, Pitts from 10 to 5, right? And I'm managing them just kind of like manually here. And then we'll let the builder reselect the lineups. Now I'm left with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I went from 50% down to 25% double tight end lineups from managing the tight ends via max exposure in the flex column. So those are like your three ways of kind of managing flex tight end exposure. And so I would just kind of figure out which one of those fits best with what you're trying to accomplish. All right, got a question here on NBA Main Slate, but we're going to circle back to this one because we got another question on tight end here. Is it recommended to adjust your minimax exposure pre-build? Let's say setting a universal max exposure for a tight end position. Pros and cons for taking this approach. I would say that if you know that like, hey, I want this much of this person. I want that much of that person. I don't want to have too much of this person, right? If you're like set on those before you start building, then I would just put them in, right? It is going to be better to just tell SaberSim what you want up front so you don't have to kind of fight with it after, right? Because what if you want more of a guy, but SaberSim isn't really giving you him that much of him in the first place? Well, then now you're going to start kind of, you know, trying to wrestle with the tool. And it might have just been easier if you just told us, hey, I like this. I want this, right? Then we can kind of give you what you want out of the gate. I think it's okay if you're like, hey, I like to manage the risk of my tight ends by setting a universal max exposure to them. That is all right. As far as like pros and cons, I think that there are probably more pros just in the sense that, you know, I've heard people say like, when I lose, I want to lose with like my takes or like my opinions, right? So it can kind of put you in a situation where you're like, never kicking yourself saying, oh, I knew I should have done this. I wish I would have done that. Where it's like, ah, you know, I did it and I was wrong, or, you know, I did it and I was right and I'm happy. Or so I think those are like the pros for doing it. Cons could be that, you know, if your opinions are bad right now, you're making your lineups like a little bit worse by feeding those things in. But, you know, that might just be something that you need to kind of trial and error and kind of work your way through until you figure out what's working, what's not working. So those are my opinions on like the pros and cons there. All right. Circling back to this question from Jimmy, can you do a demo build for NBA main with Ultimate Portfolio? Yeah. So we already have an entry file loaded up here. I'm just going to talk about pre-slate stuff. I'm not going to rebuild. I'm going to use the lineups from that build one, but I am going to go over to a new build. So build two. All right, so pre-slate. So this is an 11-game slate. Notice min salary has gone up already. I believe the min salary increases in double-digit slates. So like when there's 10 games on the slate, it goes up. When there's 11 games, it goes up. When it gets under 9, 8, 7, it goes down. When it gets under like 5, 4, 3, it gets lower, right? Kind of opens it up. I'm not really setting any filters or rules. I think it's okay if you want like a floor kind of projection filter. Like, hey, I don't want to even consider guys under 10% projection. Probably not going to get them anyways, but it could be, you know, for peace of mind to kind of have that on. Outside of that, no really rules, no sliders, changes, any of that. Personally here, I wouldn't recommend doing it. If you were going to do anything, I would say if you want to touch something, like it is probably generally okay to increase min salary. Basketball is a projection heavy sport. If you want to dabble with increasing this, I think that's okay. Those are probably the only two things I would even consider doing. And then I would upload my entry file, get my groups ready, and then I would kick off a build, right? So now we're going to go back to build one since we already built lineups here. Don't need to sit around and wait for the lineups to build some more. Got a couple of thanks here in the chat. Yeah, you guys are welcome. All right, so we're back in our build one. We already built these lineups. I don't have any minimum exposures, don't have any max. Okay, that's great. I'm going to rerun the Sims here. I don't know what I did exactly before. So we'll just kind of start fresh. All right, Sims are running, check. Diversify. All right, so we're diversifying here using Portfolio Plus. I am using the all-in-one group template here. If you wanted to, you could use direct fill or one group per contest. Any of these are fine. I'm just realized by clicking this, I'm going to have to re-diversify, which is okay. And since we're using Portfolio Plus, don't need the Saber score filter on. All right, so basically where I want to be, pool, groups, nothing special on, checking out my exposures, my leverages, right? Seems like it's slamming some of the highest value plays, right? We have positive leverage on the top three value plays. I'm assuming Laravia just became higher value because we don't have any of him in our pool. And I would imagine that if we were to rebuild lineups, since we built these like, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, he would start to pop. So analyzing your leverages, your value, you know, how much exposure am I getting to the top value plays, right? Can be good kind of check boxes to make sure everything is looking good and just giving you the opportunity to put eyes on something before you kind of miss it, right? Like I always like to look at these things and say like, okay, am I comfortable with my top leverages? Am I comfortable with my highest negative leverages, right? The guys I'm taking a stand against. I know that projection and value kind of matter in NBA. How am I doing against the top? How am I exposure-wise on the top value? I might not always have positive leverage, but you know, I want to at least see it when I have negative leverage and say, hey, am I okay with this? or am I not, right? If, you know, I really had this little leverage on Laravia, I might actually give him a minimum exposure and say, hey, this is just too big of a stand against a top value play. I don't like this, right? I'm okay being negative exposed, but I'm not okay being this negative exposed. This is just like a little too aggressive for my taste, right? So opportunities here to just kind of double check things, make sure everything looks the way you like. Once you're happy with that, you can save it, download it, and then upload it to SaberSim, and then just come back ready to late swap. As far as late swap goes, I take probably a little different approach than especially some users I've seen in like Discord. Let's go back to like yesterday. I will basically watch the lobby. I mean, I'm calling this a lobby. I'll basically watch the sim finishes, and I don't swap at every window. I know there's opportunities to take advantage of like live ownership and stuff like that. To be honest, I don't think it's like high enough value for me, just like with other like life things and stuff like that. If it's high enough value for you, then that's totally cool. I like to just swap when I think there is news worthy of swapping. So like, for instance, I probably wouldn't rerun a sim for like this Kyle Anderson one. It's not like that impactful in my opinion. I probably would have done the sim before. So like this sim, if these were spread out, right? These finished like a minute apart. But let's say they're spread out, right? Let's say the news comes out that Martin is starting over Williams. Okay, there's like an initial sim that increases Martin, lowers Williams. There's kind of a second sim that lowers Williams more, increases Martin a little more. If there was kind of a gap here, right? And I was like, hey, you know, okay, these two sims ran. I'm going to late swap. And then, you know, maybe this last one kind of comes in like closer to lock. You know, none of these players moved more than like a point. I probably would have left it. So that's just like one example there. But let's say there's other windows, right? Like we look at this window between, say there's like a 4:30 to 5 p.m. Pacific time window, right? Where a lineup comes out, it's as expected. Another lineup comes out, it's as expected. I wouldn't swap there. You know, me personally, I'm probably just leaving it as is and just rolling with what I've got. But if you want to swap it every window, totally okay. And you can just kind of go from there. Good follow-up. What if I have no opinions? Is that okay to roll with what the build gave me? What about ROI filter greater than zero? So Portfolio Plus will not use lineups that are negative ROI by default. So you don't need to worry about an ROI greater than zero filter. If you have no opinions, right? Taking what it gives you is okay. You know, that is what SaberSim is saying is the best portfolio. You know, maybe you don't know the guy's names. Maybe you don't have a big opinion, right? That's okay. You know, trust SaberSim, roll with it, be ready to late swap. Totally okay process. All right. We are all caught up here with questions in the Discord and YouTube chat. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.